Good morning. It is wonderful to be with you on this glorious Easter morning. I want to extend a special welcome to those of you who are visiting us for the very first time. We are glad that you are all here. We hope you find Unity Church to be a place which helps you find and keep your balance, a place which nourishes you and inspires you to lead a life of service, integrity, and joy. It is my pleasure to introduce my co-sabbatical minister, Justin Schroeder, and our Director of Religious Education, Carrie Meyer, who will be leading the service today with me. Following the service today, there's a special Easter egg hunt for the children in the green space, which is just adjacent to the sanctuary here. There will be plenty of treats for everyone and one golden egg. Whoever finds the golden egg will get a very special prize from the Easter Bunny. Following the service, you are all invited to join us for refreshments in the parish hall. There, you can meet friends new and old, visit our bookstall, and stop by the information tables. If you are interested in learning more about becoming a member of Unity Church, please visit the welcome table in the parish hall. Our children's and adult libraries are also open after every service and available to you. The libraries are on the second floor of the Elliott Wing. I encourage you to take a look at This Week at Unity in your order of service. It's the turquoise sheet. It serves as a roadmap to deeper involvement in the church. Join us this Wednesday for Wellspring Wednesday. Our featured speaker is Alice Nev, Rondo Community Outreach Library Supervisor, who will speak about our new asset, the Rondo Community Outreach Library, which is right here in our neighborhood. Dinner is at 6, worship at 6:45, and the presentation and other offerings begin at 7:15. Come for one part of the evening or stay for it all. This Saturday, April 14th at 9:30 in the morning, we are honored to host David Corton, author of The Great Turning, From Empire to Earth Community. He's a leader in the anti-globalization movement. He will come to Unity Church as part of the Samuel Morgan Community Forum series. This event is open to the public and free of charge. It is made possible in part by a grant by the St. Paul Foundation. During the month of May, Unity Church will host Project Home, a St. Paul Council of Churches program to provide temporary housing for homeless families in Ramsey County. Please stop by the information table in the parish hall today to sign up for a volunteer shift. Your help will make a difference. You all know that April 15th is the tax deadline, but it's also the deadline to sign up for the Unity trip to Transylvania to visit our partner church. If you're interested, please talk to Pat Half or Justin Schroeder. Can death be a gift? What makes for a good death? I'm offering a class, Living for a Good Death, in which we will explore our attitudes toward death and dying and look at the tools we need to convey our values and our wishes to our loved ones. Classes will be for 4 Thursdays starting on May 3rd. Registration is required as class size is limited. Child care will be provided by request by April 19th. Please contact me if you're interested. Next Sunday, the Reverend Marlon Lavinar of the All Souls UU Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, will be our guest minister. He will be accompanied by the All Souls Children Choir. Services are at 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock, and 4:30. Today is the deadline to sign up to host the children's choir. We need places for 18 youth from 8th to 12th grade. We're looking for space for sleeping bags. So please go to the table in the parish hall directly after the service to sign up to provide this much-needed hospitality. Finally, at the conclusion of the service, Justin, Carrie, and I would like to greet you at the Portland Avenue doors, just that way. Again, everyone, welcome to Unity Church.
We give thanks for life reborn. We give thanks for joy to overcome loss and pain. We give thanks for the earth as it blooms its renewal. We give thanks that all living things are revived. As a sign of our gratitude, we light this chalice to welcome all new songs of life. Come, let us worship together. Will you join me in our responsive reading printed in your order of service? Easter calls to us out of the mist and fog, out of the melting snow and relentless rain of days past, and says to us, Easter calls to us out of lost opportunities and forgotten dreams that never came to pass, and says to us, a new self is waiting expectantly to come to birth within you.
To
Easter calls to us out of the hushed voices and haunting faces of those who have touched our lives and passed on to glories and mysteries we know not of. Easter speaks to us through them and says to us, Easter calls to us out of the life and teachings of a prophet of long ago, whose form was crucified, dead and buried, but whose spirit rises up out of the grave and proclaims, though truth be nailed to the scaffold, it shall rise again and bespeak itself in a still small voice that shall be heard above the harsh noises and clashing sounds of injustice and oppression. Walking the earth once more, with quiet, persistent footsteps. Easter calls to us. Help us to hear it, see it, feel it. Unstop our ears, uncover our eyes, unseal our lips, open up our hearts.
Every Sunday, we set aside time to expand the caring ministry of this congregation. Together, we recognize the cycle of life and death, the circle of love, compassion, and witness that permeates this sacred place. We celebrate the life and mourn the death of Kendra Garrett's mother, Betty Lou Jones, affectionately known as B. Lou, who died at the age of 83. We honor the life of Edwina Dickinson as we grieve our loss. She passed away on April 5th. We pray in sorrow and in support for Tony Borgerding and Jennifer McDermott, who lost their unborn baby at 22 weeks. We rejoice with Bill and Katie Gray for the birth of their grandson, Augustus William Mastrid, who was born on March 25th. And we joyfully celebrate and congratulate Betsy and Howard Guthman's 55th wedding anniversary on April 5th. Our hearts are with all those who live with grief or chronic pain, for illnesses seen and unseen, for those who live with addiction, those who care for family members in ill health, and those who knowingly face their final days with courage. We pray for healing. We send our thoughts and care to Katie Rivard, who has doubled her radiation treatment and chemotherapy in her fight against cancer. She is recovering at home with her husband, Patrick, and would greatly appreciate cards. May we stand in compassionate solidarity with our neighbors all around the world who suffer in the midst of habitual violence. May they and we be instruments of a lasting peace. I now invite you to share the names of those people you would like to celebrate, memorialize, or hold in the embrace of this community. For the names which have been spoken and the names which remain in the silent sanctuary of our hearts, may we be forever grateful for the lives that have touched ours. And let us pray. Spirit of life, earth maker, pain bearer, life giver, breath that I breathe, you are the source of all that is and that shall be. We are people who need the spring. We need the greening nature. We need spring hope in our lives as we live and as we die. We want to see the fat greening bulb as holy. We want to believe that like that green bulb, we can push our lives out of our tombs, out of our pain. May our Easter be not a myth, but as real as the green springing forth from the earth. Our human world needs this resurrection. Our planet Earth needs healing. And behold, the seed sprouts. Praise is on our lips. We pray in gratitude for all that is. We pray in hope for all that might be. Amen.
Come on up, kids. Come on up and have a seat on the carpet up here. Parents, if you have a little one who's a little wiggly or kind of nervous about coming up, you can come on up with them. Come on up, have a seat on the carpet. I have an Easter joke for you. What's brown and sticky? A stick. A stick is brown and sticky.
Yeah, it's not sticky.
A stick is as sticky as you get. So this is a stick. Check this out. I got this stick from the apple tree that grows in my backyard. So when you look at this stick, does it look like it's alive or dead? Looks pretty dead, doesn't it? Things look pretty dead all winter long, don't they? The apple tree in my backyard that this stick came from looks so dead. I'm a little worried about it. But you know, I've noticed a lot of stuff has looked dead all winter. What are some other things that have looked dead all winter? Shout them out. What are some things?
Logs.
Logs have looked dead all winter. Yeah. What else has looked dead? Anybody's grass look kind of dead? Yeah, your grass looking kind of dead. What else, Jake? What's looking dead?
You took mine.
I took yours, the grass. Can you think of anything else? If you just want to think on it, what else is looking dead?
Flowers.
Flowers are looking dead. Yeah, I looked outside at my garden. Doesn't look too green. Looks pretty dead. What else? Anything else looking kind of dead? You might remember last year I told you about some little tiny frogs called spring peepers. They crawl under a log and they freeze solid. If you found a couple of those right now, boy, those would look dead. What else looks dead?
I just forgot it.
That's okay. You might remember later. What else?
Stems
look dead. Absolutely. What else looks dead? Trees look dead. Shrubs look dead. Everything you look outside. But there are little tiny hints that maybe they're not really dead. It's been looking pretty sad all winter long. Kind of gray, kind of dead. It makes you feel a little bit sad and empty. But you know what I noticed? When I looked at this branch, can you see what happened when I broke off a tip of it? What color is it on the inside?
Green.
It's green. There is a streak of green inside this branch. And so, do you think that this branch is more dead or more alive? It's quite alive. And there are lots of things that underneath looking all dead and brown and sad actually have a streak of green inside them and are actually really alive. Which makes me ask you, what's brown and sticky and a miracle? A stick. But what's different about these sticks? They have flowers on them. Do they look alive? They sure do. These sticks are alive. And you know why I think that they are a miracle? Because off of the tree, and then they looked brown and sticky like that. Then I put them in some water.
They don't look sticky.
They look like sticks to me. Put them in some water, and look what happened. All of these beautiful flowers. There was a streak of green inside those sticks, and now they're very much alive. They didn't really need to be attached to a tree. It's a miracle. It makes me wonder, how did they know to make flowers in the first place? How did that streak of green become something that was alive? So there are lots of things that are coming alive right now. What are some things that you have seen that are coming alive? Yeah, shout them out. Trees are coming alive. What else?
Flowers.
Every kind of plant. Every kind of plant. What else?
Grass
is coming alive. What else?
Mice.
You guys are coming alive. Me too. Let me tell you. The apple tree in my backyard is soon going to have blooms all over it, just like this. Nature itself is coming alive. And that is something to celebrate. But another reason that we celebrate Easter time is because a long, long time ago, there was a teacher. You know about him because we talk about his teachings, and his name was Jesus. And when he was alive, oh, he taught the most wonderful things. He taught people to be friends with one another, to forgive each other, to take care of people who needed to be taken care of. But he died. And just like we feel in the wintertime, I bet that all of his friends were so sad. And I think that they were worried that everything that he taught about, all of those good ideas about love and friendship and forgiveness, I think that they were afraid that those would die with him. But they didn't. Jesus had left behind a streak of green inside all of his friends. And even though he died, all of his ideas came back to life as a whole new church. And one of the reasons we celebrate Easter is because we are a branch of that church. But sort of like these branches, we're not connected to that tree anymore. We're sort of separate from that tree, but there's a streak of green inside us too, in our Unitarian Universalist churches. And we are alive, and we are blooming with things like love and friendship and caring and forgiveness. And so that's a pretty good reason to celebrate Easter, because life won't ever stay dead because life wants to live, just like this apple blossom branch does. So, because nature is reborn and because our church is a branch of the love that was reborn, I wish you a happy, happy Easter. Thanks for listening. Let's go back with our families and we'll listen to some music and collect our offering.
Those of you who have been worshiping with us for a while know that we give our plate out into the world to the community and agencies throughout the world that help live our values outside of these church walls. Today, the offering will go to Unity's Affordable Housing Advocacy Ministry team. They work on housing issues everywhere from helping homeless people find shelter to advocating for affordable housing and lobbying for legislation on housing issues. We all have a place to go home after the service, and we are blessed to call this our church home. Please give as generously as you are able so everyone in our community might have a place to call home. Will the ushers please come forward? To the work of the church, which is weaving a tapestry of love and faith we call community, this we give our offering. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. But he has been raised. He is not here. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid.
Our second reading this morning comes from the poet Kim Garcia. "Above the snow, a single maple leaf holding forth its dying flame. Among the feats of nature, the wild greening from dry bulb, sour alchemy of rot, a rusty handprint of lichen. The eager, space-seeking species springing up after fire, as though they took no lesson from destruction, but to begin again, twice as joyful."
My mother-in-law, Vicky, teaches third grade. She is an excellent teacher, somewhat like the character of Mrs. Frizzle in the Magic School Bus books. Vicky is an avid naturalist, and whenever possible, she brings life into her classroom. Known to her students as Mrs. Schwartz, she brings caterpillars to the classroom so the children can watch them emerge from their chrysalises rather than simply read about the process from a book. They watch real tadpoles transform into real frogs. Her students dissect squid, and they dissect owl pellets too. One year, Mrs. Schwartz and her colleague, Mrs. Weeks, had 6 Anole lizards in their classes for the children to learn about reptiles and the food chain. Now, the lizards needed to eat. In fact, that was a key part of the food chain lesson. These particular types of lizards like to eat crickets. So Vicky and her colleague ordered a supply of crickets. Soon thereafter, a box of 200 crickets arrived from the Carolina Biological Company. Vicky and her friend waited until the school was nearly empty so they could open the box without exciting the children and without losing the fast-jumping crickets and the commotion that would certainly ensue. When the time was right, they opened the box. The two teachers were very disappointed to find that the crickets had not survived the journey. They thought they lost their money, and worse yet, the crickets had no dinner. They put the dead crickets in the trash cans, where the custodian would soon remove them, and they went to finish grading their papers and tidying their adjoining classrooms. About 45 minutes later, Vicky heard a rustling in the trash can. As soon as she could look over, the crickets came to life, jumping out of their trash can tomb and into the classroom. Very quickly, they were jumping everywhere. She called out to her friend, and the two of them started hopping like mad, trying to catch the crickets that by now had started hopping down the hallway of the school. Resurrection. Apparently, the crickets had been chilled, so they would be dormant during shipping. After about an hour, they warmed to room temperature and came back to life from their cold sleep. Vicky and her friend managed to catch some of the crickets, but many, if not most, of the 200 made their way from the trash can and wandered, hopping throughout the entire school. And they continued to live. For many months afterwards, Vicky heard chirp, 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 that familiar summer sound, while teaching. A reminder, life wants to live. Like the crickets, many people may be taken for dead in the middle of their lives. All of us will experience tragedy. All of us will experience pain. And all of us will experience what UU minister Max Kutz calls the little death before our physical death. He writes, "It's the little deaths before the final time, I fear. The blasé shrug that quietly replaces the excited curiosity. The cynic sneer that takes the place of innocence. The soft, sweet odor of success that overcomes the sense of sympathy. The self-betrayal that robs us of our will to trust. The ridicule of vision, the barren blindness to what was once our sense of beauty. These are deaths that come so quietly, we do not know when we died. Sometimes, we must be rigorously honest to face our dyings. Often, we can't do it alone. The gospel this morning asks, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb? We need one another to help us roll away the stone to face our tombs. It's only when we allow ourselves to enter into the depths of our lives that we open the door for new life. Living exacts the cost of loss, but with every loss comes the possibility of a new future. This is the Easter story. The seed sprouts from the dung heap. The spirit of the prophet rises from the grave. Resurrection is the eternal flow of death to life as our planet renews itself, like a mighty ship righting herself after a wave. It's that wild greening from dry bulb, the sour alchemy of rot, a rusty handprint of lichen. Resurrection is those crickets awakening in the trash can. It's when we face our failures and we try to live again. And perhaps, more importantly, it's the faith that such resurrection is possible that makes it so. But in the midst of our dying, this is no easy matter. I believe, Lord, Help mine unbelief. It took rigorous honesty for him to face his dying. He didn't see it for a long time. In fact, many people did not at first. He was 22 and already a veteran of foreign wars. He returned home imagining that he would head vast enterprises and revel in worldly success. Setting to prove that he was important and was about to be successful, he and his wife Lois roared off on a motorcycle in a sidecar to find their fortune. He took a position on Wall Street, which nurtured his frequent drinking. He lost everything in the stock market crash of 1929, but escaped to the home of a generous friend in Canada, where he and his wife continued to live in their accustomed style. But his drinking caught up with him, and his friend let him go. He and Lois went off to live off of the charity of his in-laws. Soon, he needed 3 bottles of gin just to get through the day. He was climbing into his tomb. Things got worse. They lost the house. The in-laws became sick and died. He had another promising business opportunity, but went on a bender and lost all of his prospects. He asked himself, "Where is my resolve? Am I crazy?" The cycle happened again and again and again. He would steal from his wife's slender purse, and he descended into madness, having to sleep on the first floor so he wouldn't jump out the window to end his life. He was an unemployable drunk with a disdain for religion. He went into rehab and fared very well for a while. He was sober for over 3 months. He started to make some money, but then again, he drank once more. Eventually, the doctors told Lois that he had about a year to live before he died of the disease of alcoholism. He was suffering so much, he welcomed the idea that the end would come in a year. Fear kept him sober for a little while, but inevitably that first drink took him again. It seemed that the stone was now sealed, and he was unable to roll it back on his own, and he resigned himself to die. One day, as he sat planning to see if he had enough gin to keep him until morning, the phone rang. It was a school friend. He invited him over, hoping to have drinking company and acceptance from his old drinking buddy, Ebby. That night, he got acceptance and company, but not what he expected. Ebby was sober. Ebby simply said, "I've got religion." He was aghast, but curious, because Ebby, too, had been pronounced incurable by the doctors. He had admitted complete defeat, and it was there, in recognizing the empty tomb that new life sprung forth. Ebby was the first person who budged the stone from his tomb. Some of you may know this story. In fact, it may have budged your own tombstone. This is the story of Bill Wilson, one of the co-founders of Alcoholics Anonymous, which is now over 100,000 groups strong, and is the foundation for many other successful 12-step programs. Life wants to live. Like the women in the gospel, we might be terribly frightened when we find the stone rolled away, the tomb empty, and know only that we have to search for life again, heaven knows where. Resurrection happens when we see that the tomb is really empty and we decide to look for life elsewhere. It's when we emerge, blinking our weary eyes in the bright sun. It's then that we can be sustained by our belief that life wants to live. Here we have to act before we see, and perhaps this is why. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. We are blessed when we have faith that can propel us out from the empty tomb and into the world. We may have to look for a really long time without finding much life, and I can't guarantee we'll find it. We all know that resurrection doesn't always come. What appears dead often actually is dead. Yet often this knowledge blinds us to the fact that resurrection is possible, and I can guarantee that if we leave the tomb, we'll be out living in the world. Life wants to live. We spend a lot of time as Unitarian Universalists distinguishing who we are not. Few of us believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus. Some of us have trouble with this language even when used metaphorically. This makes Easter complex for us. Many of of us sit betwixt and between, like philosopher Simone Weil, at the intersection of the cross. Everything that is Christianity at the intersection of everything that is not. When we need spiritual rebirth, we may prefer to think of the Egyptian goddess Isis lovingly resurrecting Osiris from his death in the Nile River, of the Babylonian god of the harvest, Temuz, who died young and was rescued from the underworld by his love, Ishtar, or of Persephone and her pomegranate seeds, of the phoenix, or of Odin hanging from the tree, waiting for a new life of wisdom. These stories are relevant. As the Greek statesman Solon said, myth is not about something that never happened. It's about something that happens again and again. Life wants to live. In our attempt to distinguish ourselves from the religious right, we may relegate the Christian resurrection as irrelevant, but it's more than relevant. It happens again and again. We are a creedless faith, so you belong here if you consider Jesus a prophet and rabbi. You belong here if you consider him your Lord and Savior. You belong here if you believe he died and was buried, period. And you belong here if you believe something miraculous happened in that holy land 2,000 years ago. But here, we all believe in life before death. The question is, will you rise again? Will you experience resurrection after the inevitable pain that your life holds? To quote the writer Madeleine L'Engle, I believe in the truth of resurrection, if not the fact of it. I believe in the truth of the resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth 2,000 years ago, and I believe in the truth of the resurrection 2,000 years later, today, right here, in this holy land, because I've seen it. Life wants to live. Church is where we come for resurrection. The double doors in the church are intentionally wide enough to accommodate a casket and its pallbearers. Every time we walk through those doors, we come into the church in our dyings, large and small. We come into the church with the hope that we will walk back out of those doors changed, for those double doors are also wide enough to accommodate us to leave twice as joyful. This is the work of the church. So a singing group called The Resurrection was scheduled to sing at a church. When a big Minnesota snowstorm postponed the performance, the minister fixed the outside sign to read, "The resurrection is postponed." Friends, let us not postpone our resurrection. Easter is the Anglo-Saxon goddess of the dawn, where the sun rises in the east again and again. With every dawn, may we remember that what happened once upon a time is happening all of the time. Eastertide is the season when we choose innocence to again replace our cynicism. It's our will to trust despite betrayal. It's the hopeless addict finding new life. It's the curiosity that again replaces the blasé shrug. It's the cricket's awakening. It's that space-seeking species springing up after fire. It's all of these. It's you and it's me, eagerly resurrecting as though we took no lesson from destruction, but to begin again, twice as joyful. May it be so for all of us. A happy and blessed Easter to you all. Amen.
Thank you.
Each morning grants us a reprieve. The tomb is no place to stay. Resurrection is possible. We're granted another day of living. May we begin twice as joyful, for life wants to live. Go forth in peace. A happy and blessed Easter to you all. Amen.